Man, listen, I'm so excited to be here this morning. If I haven't met you or introduced myself, my name is Sam. I'm the student outreach pastor here. Caleb, he's preaching a D-Now that he does every year in Ohio. So as we're doing this, he's preaching. So shoot one up for him. I know that he hates to miss here, but I know that he's thankful anywhere that he's at to get to preach the truth of the gospel. So the same is true this morning. I'm excited to get to do that this morning. I don't know if it's because I have my boots on. It is because I have my boots on. But I feel like I look taller today and that... The pulpit's not at my chest. Is it? Are y'all feeling that? Is that, do I look taller? All right, thank you. I'll just keep
wearing these when I preach on Sunday morning so you don't miss me with the camera angle with this in my head right here.
Hey, listen, I have a question for you. All right, this is going to sound silly, and I think that I'm asking this question to mostly to men, mostly to fathers, mostly to dads in here, and maybe this is a reminder that you, dad, have had to remind your wife of before, but have you ever been given the reminder by your wife to, hey, make sure that you don't forget the kids? Anybody in here? Do we have any of our men in here? You guys are dishonest people, because a bunch of you didn't raise your hand, and you should have. Maybe we have some ladies that need to be reminded by your husbands to, hey, make sure that you don't forget your kid. Listen, I have only been a dad for 14 months now. Thankfully, we haven't been enough places, I think, apart from each other that I've had to be reminded of that. But we'll have a conversation, Landry and I will have a conversation sometimes, and you hear these stories where somebody will go somewhere and they'll leave their kid in the car for a little while and they'll be like, oh, wait, I need to go get my kid out of the car. And I think that I've been given that reminder from my wife before, but maybe you're the same as me, and maybe for some of you, I'm looking over here at Andrew and Cassie and I'm thinking, y'all have so many kids that I bet it's so easy to forget some of them. I bet they're talking about, hey, you remember that? Those six times you forgot our kid? No, I'm just kidding. But look, when you're given that reminder by your spouse, at least in my brain, I'm thinking to myself, it's my kid. How can I forget my kid? How do you possibly forget your kid? And listen, the truth is, most times you don't forget your kid. Some of you probably have some really awesome stories about how many times you've left your kid at church. I'm a victim of that. I've been left at church several times. And for at least for me and my parents, I think that it was intentional. Because I wasn't a very good kid. But listen, in the hustle bustle of life and the rush of life, we need a reminder to refocus on what matters most. This morning, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 8 through 13. You'll see that our message title this morning is to remember. And you're going to see in just a moment, when we start reading through this passage of Scripture, you're going to see that Paul is reminding Timothy of something that he couldn't possibly forget, to remember Jesus Christ. How could we forget Jesus Christ? We don't forget Jesus Christ, but it's important for us to be reminded of things that are important so that we refocus, so that we re-hone in on what matters most. So look, as we look at that, before we do that, I want to read, we're going to read chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. We're just going to really focus on 8 through 13 this morning. But before we do that, I want to give you a little bit of background. Most of you may know the relationship between Paul and Timothy, but Paul and Timothy, man, they were thick as thieves. They were like this right here. Paul was a mentor to Timothy. They had walked through much of life together. They've seen and done and been through some hard things together, okay? So this would have been written in around AD 67, okay? And it's believed that Paul would have been executed for the sake of the gospel around AD 68. So this letter that he wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy, would have been his last recorded letter that he would have ever written. So as he writes this letter to Timothy, it's not just for Timothy. It would have been for the church that he pastored in Ephesus. It would have been for, it's for us, it's for many different people that would read this, but he writes this letter to Timothy specifically to remind him of the things that matter the most and encourage him to press on, because trial is sure to come, persecution is sure to come, but hold fast in Christ. So look, let's look at that this morning. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read that, give you just a little bit of context that leads into the command that Paul gives to Timothy when he tells him to remember Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 of 2 Timothy, it says this, "You then, my child, Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Listen, if we had time, we would go through this, but I don't think you want to be here for an hour and a half. So I'm going to sum this up really quick. What Paul is telling Timothy when he writes this in the first seven verses, he is telling him to keep your focus on Christ, be obedient to Christ, and persevere to the end. And then as we jump into verses 8 through 13, he gives us the how. How do we do that? Well, let's look at verse 8. He says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. How do you keep your focus? How do you be obedient? How do you persevere to the end? You do it by remembering Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Dear God, we come to you, and as we approach your word, God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, a mind to understand, and Lord, actions in our life to be obedient to the gospel of what we hear this morning. God, we trust this time into your hands, and I pray, God, that more than anything else, that you would be glorified by our worship to you this morning. Amen. So as we open this up, I'm going to give you 3 points this morning of things that I want you to talk about. Super easy. The theme of our morning is to remember, to not forget these things. So the first thing that we're going to look at is to remember the power of the gospel. And that's exactly what we see in verses 8 and 9. I'll go back and read that super quick. It says in verses 8 and 9, he says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Paul's instruction to Timothy is to remember Jesus Christ. Listen, we already talked about this. Paul obviously knew that this isn't something that Timothy was going to forget. How could you possibly forget the gospel that you preach, that God has called you to preach? How could you possibly forget that? But as believers, for Timothy, just the same that it is for us, we need to be constantly reminded of the things that are most important. That's Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. So what we see here, when we remember the power of the gospel, we have to remember the works of the Lord. Remember that he has always been faithful. Remember what he says in verse 8. He says to remember that he has been risen from the dead. To remember that he is the offspring of David. So what's the importance of this? To show the one story, the beautiful picture of the gospel. The Old Testament prophecy, it's been fulfilled. The Savior King that was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 11 and 2 Samuel 12, 7 through 16. We won't read that for the sake of time, but go look it up. Those are the prophecies of the King to come. He has come and he has fulfilled the law by defeating sin and death and rising from the grave on the third day, defeating sin and death so that you and I can have a relationship with Christ. And I love that Paul says, remember that he's risen from the dead. Dude, he ain't going to forget that he's risen from the dead. Timothy would have known like the back of his hand the Old Testament. But remember that he is the offspring of David. Remember that this has stood the test of time. Remember that the Old Testament prophecies, they have been fulfilled. And this is a one-story gospel that the entirety of Paul's ministry, of Timothy's ministry, anybody who has been called by God, this should be the foundation of what they preach and why they preach, is because of the truth of the gospel. This good news is why you and I are able to sit in this room this morning and worship today. This should be what drives our worship and our devotion and our love to our King Jesus. If you'll look with me just a second, you should be able to see this on the screen. 1 Corinthians 15 and 14, it says this, and if Christ had not been risen, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. So why does Paul remind Timothy that, hey, he's been risen from the dead? Because of what we see in 1 Corinthians 15:14. Because if he had not been raised, then all that we do, our preaching, your faith, the reason I hope that you sit here this morning is because of your faith in Christ. And if all of that was void, if that had not happened, then all of what we do, all of what I say, and all of who you worship in Christ Jesus would be in vain. It'd be a waste of time. Praise God that it's not. This good news is the very reason that Paul is bound with chains. He talks about that in verse 9. The very reason that Paul is bound with chains and he's being treated like a criminal. This good news would soon lead to Paul's execution. Let's look at verse 9 and what does he tell us? In verse 9 he says, for which, talking about remembering Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of the gospel, as preached in my gospel, verse 9, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But notice what he says in the last part of verse 9. This is so powerful. But the word of God is not bound. Amen, church. Amen to that. The word of God is not bound. For the sake of the gospel, Paul has been beaten. He has been mocked. He has been stoned. He has been imprisoned. And the list goes on. Here in verse 9, he reminds Timothy of how he is currently suffering for the sake of the gospel. And listen, this wouldn't have come as a surprise to Timothy. He knew this. He was in close relationship with Paul. He knew all of the things that he had gone through, right? But if we follow the theme that I think that Paul is really carrying on throughout this section of scripture that we look at this morning to remember, if we follow the thing of remembering, I believe that Paul here is reminding Timothy of the cost of obedience to fulfill the call to go and make disciples, to go and to share Christ, for people to grow in their relationship with Christ so that they would come to know Christ, so that they could inherit eternity with Christ. And we'll read that in just a second. Paul here, he paints a picture of him being physically bound by chains to remind Timothy that as the physical messengers of the gospel, we may be bound, but listen to this, church, the word of God will never be bound. As Paul writes this letter, I believe that he was physically shackled by his hands and likely his feet. This was not a house arrest that he had recently been under. He wasn't chilling at his house and couldn't come out of his door. I believe just before Paul was executed, he was physically shackled by the chains. And what he says as he writes this, and my goodness, the joy that he writes this with, is he says, hey, you may be bound, but the word of God will never be bound. Why do you think that he adds that there? Because he's bound for the sake of the gospel. And he is reminding his brother, his counterpart in ministry, to say, hey, listen, you may face the same exact things that I'm facing. And honestly, Timothy, you're likely to face the same things that I'm facing. Trust and rest in the fact that the word of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, can never be bound. Satan can make every effort, but he can never silence the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul is telling Timothy that you may be and you likely will be bound and killed for the sake of the gospel, but no matter what happens, stay faithful because the word of God will abound. The vessel that is used to spread the gospel will expire, but the message never will. And I hope that you take encouragement in this morning. And listen, our setting, our life looks nothing like Paul. It looks nothing like Timothy. It doesn't cost us the same thing for us to share the gospel with somebody. It doesn't mean that it doesn't cost us anything. I shared this message. I got to do a little devotional for the West Lauderdale football team, middle school and high school. They do that on Thursdays, and I get to do that periodically. And we talked about, hey, for them, look, it may cost you something in a relationship and with a group of friends that you're in. For you, it may cost you a relationship of somebody that you're close to at work. It may cause strife between you and a family member, and all you desire is that they would come to know Jesus. Rest this morning in knowing that, hey, Satan will do everything that he can to get you to be quiet, to not share the gospel, but the word of God will always prevail. Man, rest in that this morning. The vessel that's used to spread the gospel, it will expire, but the message never will. I thought this was so cool. I did the math, which is odd for me. I'm not very good at math, and I wasn't able to just count this up. Probably if I was smarter, I could have. But I looked at the time between AD 64 to 67, and now, April 6, 2025, and I looked at the time between that.
2,090 years later, this is so awesome, the gospel still lives and it still has the same power to save now as it did then. Over 2,000 years later, and we are able to gather in this room here because people have been faithful to carry on the message of God. Listen, the messengers have changed. It's not Paul and Timothy anymore that's preaching the gospel to you. It's Sam and it's Caleb. Listen, one day we'll die and we won't be here. But you know what's awesome? The word of God will prevail and it will continue to live on, and it has 2,000 years ago. Church, that is amazing. And I want you to remember that. Never forget that the gospel will always live on. Praise God that the power of the gospel and its message can never be silenced. As messengers, we are sure to encounter resistance, persecution likely. Regardless, what do? We press on. We press on and we remember the cost and the call. Our second point this morning, to remember the cost and the call. Verse 10, Paul says, therefore, talks about, hey, I've been bound with chains for the sake of the gospel. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, those that know Christ, those that God knows that will come to know Christ. Those are the elect that he's talking about, those that will make a decision to follow Christ. This is what Paul says. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. In 1 Timothy, Paul explains why he does what he does. Why do I suffer? Why do I go through all of these things? It's so that people will come to know Christ. That's exactly what God's called him to. Paul is faithful to endure all things so that unbelievers will come to know Christ and so that believers will grow in Christ. That's what's happening today. The call for us to go and make disciples of all nations means that we will face resistance. We will likely face persecution. But the truth of the gospel, and we have to understand this, the truth of the gospel is offensive. It's not always light and bubbly, because it addresses a harsh reality that if you deny Christ, and we'll look at this, it talks about this in verse 12. Later on, we'll talk about this. If we deny Christ, he denies us. The truth of the gospel means that, hey, there is a great void that must be filled. Praise God for Jesus. That's why we preach and proclaim Jesus. That's why Paul proclaims Jesus. That's why Timothy proclaims Jesus, because there was a fix to the problem. There was a bridge to the gap. His name was Jesus. If we would place our faith and our trust in him, we will inherit eternal life with him. The truth of the gospel is offensive, and it won't always be received with a positive response. But nevertheless, we preach so that people will trust Jesus as their Savior, and they will inherit eternity with him. And listen, Paul is willing to suffer in any way necessary so that for those that will come to know Christ, so that they will come to know Christ, he is willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel, to be bound by chains by his hands and by his feet, to be beaten, to be imprisoned, eventually to be executed, so that people will have the opportunity to hear the gospel message and receive Christ as our Savior. As I studied through this, you know, I asked myself, it sounds, when you read that and you really believe the things that Paul has done, it makes me ask the question, why on earth would anybody do this? He looks like a maniac. He looks crazy that he would do this, that he is so committed to this one thing, this gospel message. He's so committed to this that he would die for it, that he would be imprisoned, that he would let somebody beat the snot out of him so that the gospel message would continue. Why would he do this? Why on earth would anybody do this? Because he loves Christ, number one, and because he loves his people. Why would you do the things that you would do for your kids? Why do you sacrifice the way that you do for your children? Because you love them. You love them with a love like nothing else. And listen, you don't understand. If you don't have kids in here, the truth is, you just don't understand it the same way. I didn't understand the way that God loved me and how Paul can love the way that he loves, and especially the way that God loves the way that he loves, until I had my own child. The love that you have for a child, good grief, this is going to... I'm so soft. You can't explain it, man. You can't explain it. All you can say is, hey, you know what I mean. God loves the same way. He loves that way even more than we do. So why would Paul go through all of this and be beaten and be killed for the sake of the gospel? Because he loves his King Jesus so much that he will be obedient to the point of death.
And he loves God's people enough that he will do anything, no matter what it costs him. He'll endure everything so that they would come to know Jesus. His message to Timothy is to be willing to do the same. The message to you, the message to me this morning is to be willing to do the same. Paul's message to Timothy in this verse is to be ready to endure whatever will come as you preach the gospel. This is a commitment that has counted the cost and that has surrendered to the call. This is a commitment. This is a surrender that remembers that God is faithful. Our third point this morning, to remember that God is faithful. And listen, church, my hope for you this morning is that you would be so encouraged by the reminder that Paul gives Timothy. And we're going to look in just a moment as we close an applicational point. I'm going to give you some things to remember, some things actually to write down, and I'm going to encourage you to pray over those things this week. But my prayer for you is that you would remember that God is faithful, that you would remember the truth that we have and that it is absolutely trustworthy. And that's what he says in verse 11. He says, the saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. What's Paul saying? Believe these truths. Remember these truths and rest in these truths. 1 Timothy 4:9, I think it's interesting how Paul says, why didn't he just say, if we have died with him, we will also live with him? But he adds this, the saying is trustworthy. 1 Timothy 4:9, it says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. What Paul is telling Timothy and all those that will read this message is that what I am telling you, what I write right after I tell you this, you can stake every bit of your claim on it that this is as true as it gets, man. This is as true as it gets. This is the truth. The truth that follows what Paul's saying in the end of verse 9. He talks about how he is willing to endure so that people will inherit the kingdom, that they will inherit eternal life with Jesus, that they would come to know Jesus in salvation. This reminder of truth from Paul to Timothy should come as a great encouragement. And this is encouraging because no matter what happens on earth, eternity awaits us. And we see that in Romans chapter 6 and verse 8. Romans chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Paul is able to share this with Timothy because this was a truth that has been a great encouragement to him as he nears the end of his life. And it's possible that Timothy, he finds himself in a similar situation as Paul, where faith in this truth will be tested. I don't know if you guys were here 2 weeks ago, but I preached out of Philippians, and I opened my message by sharing a story of a guy named Polycarp. For the sake of time, and just not to bore you with the same old story, this guy named Polycarp, he was a early church martyr. He died for the sake of the gospel. He was burned alive at the stake because he would not renounce his faith. The Roman officials said, hey, look, if you'll just deny that Jesus ever existed, we'll let you go, man. And he said, look, dude, I know it's going to hurt for a moment. I know it's going to burn for a moment. But none of that compares to the glory that I'll receive when I'm in eternity with Jesus. Don't you know that this truth that we see, if we have died with him, we will also live with him? Don't you think that this was something that was hard to grasp when you are looking and staring death in the face? Because we can't grasp eternity. We believe what God's word tells us, but we don't know it. We haven't experienced that yet. And eternity is absolutely knowing Jesus, but that in fulfillment in a world that is sin-free, that's not stained with sin, we aren't able to understand that. That's why Paul reminds Timothy, that's why we are being reminded by this message this morning, that hey, if you know Jesus, then you have died with him and you will also live with him. And this isn't only true in death, but it's also true as we sit here today. If we have been saved, then the old has passed away and the new has come, and he lives and walks, and we live and walk with Christ daily. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, just before verse 8 of what we read, I want to read that to you. It says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. In verse 8 of what we just read,
Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For those of you in here that know Christ this morning, the old has passed away. Doesn't mean that the old don't creep up. It doesn't mean that sin's not still in your life. It doesn't mean that you didn't struggle this morning and you didn't disobey God this morning. But believe what the truth of the gospel says right here. Don't believe always how you feel, but believe the truth of the gospel when it says the old self was crucified so that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. You're no longer enslaved to sin. For the one who has died, he's been set free from sin. Rejoice with me this morning. Praise God this morning that you have been set free and you are no longer enslaved in sin. Verse 12, he continues and he gives this list of reminders. Remember this, Paul says to Timothy in verse 12. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. In verse 12, Paul encourages Timothy by reminding him that endurance and perseverance, they're worth it because the end goal, the finish line, is eternity with Christ, which is far better than what we experience on earth. And if you look at any of Paul's writings, he is always talking about that, talking about what's to come. Hold steadfast, continue to endure, continue to press on, and remember that God is faithful. Those that are truly saved by Christ, they will endure. And this is what he says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. How do you endure? How are you able to endure through this life? And man, look, many of you are in my mind as I preach this and as I prepare this, because this hits different for many of you. This hits different for many of you because you're really in the thick of it. You're really having to endure. How do you do that? Take the words that we see in Hebrews 12:1. You do that by looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who was faithful to the point of his death, so that you and I could have a relationship with him, so that you are able to go through the difficult, the hard, the maybe unfair things that of trial and persecution that life throws at you, so that you can endure, because Christ has been faithful and we endure by looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Notice what he says in the last second part of verse 12. He says, if we deny him, he will also deny us. Timothy was a follower of Christ. Timothy wasn't going to deny Jesus. This message wasn't just for Timothy. This message would have been for the church that Timothy pastored in Ephesus as he is preaching to people, likely with a room of believers and also a room of non-believers. So he says, if we deny him, he will also deny us. And guys, this is the truth of the gospel. This is what we just talked about a moment ago, that God sent his son Jesus to bridge the gap, so that we wouldn't deny him, so that we don't have to place our faith and our trust in ourselves, in our own merit. Our salvation isn't contingent on those things. It's contingent on the perfect finished work of Christ. But notice what he says here. The truth of the gospel tells us, if we deny him, he will also deny us. John 3:18, it says this. Everybody knows John 3:16. John 3:18 says this, and this is so important to read this as it's coupled together, verses 16, 17, and 18. We'll look at 18. John 3:18, it says this, whoever believes in him, whoever follows Jesus, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. If you sit here this morning and you don't know Jesus, he's extended his grace to you. And he's given you a choice. Will you decide to repent? Will you decide to follow Jesus? Or will you deny him? Because denying him means that he will deny you. And you will spend an eternity apart from Jesus. The encouragement here is to endure, to press on, to keep the end in sight.
What do we do with that? We live this life in view of the one to come. Live this life in view of the one to come and be encouraged through your perseverance. Be encouraged when it's hard to know that there is something better that awaits you in eternity with Jesus and to know that he's always faithful. I love how Paul wraps this up. Paul wraps up this thought with such a beautiful reminder of a comforting truth. Look with me in verse 13. So perfectly timed, he writes this. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. I'm going to read that again. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Church, we will undoubtedly be faithless at times in our lives. Paul knows this to be true. Timothy knows this to be true. And, you know, as you read this, how many times can you think back on and see how faithless you have been? In those times, how often can you recall that even in the midst of your failure to be faithful, to be obedient to God, to trust that he's in control, and he tells us all the time, how many of those times can you look back and see, man, I was faithless, but God was faithful? How many of those times can you look back and see that you had your faith faltered, but God continued to remain faithful, and that he was faithful every single time? This would have been such an encouragement to the pastor, Timothy. This would have been such an encouragement to him, because the calling for those of us that teach and preach the word of God, that God has called us to do that, the weight of doing that is, it's hard. It's a weight to bear, and it's far different for me than it is for your pastor. So when he talks about the weight that he bears, the burdens that he bears for you, he absolutely bears those. And listen, it's such a burden because a lot of times we mess that up. A lot of times, it doesn't matter if you are called to be a pastor of a church or if you sit in here and you are just working a regular white-collar or blue-collar job, you fail to be faithless. You fail to be faithful, I should say. But remember that God is always faithful. This should be encouraging to all of us. And man, what a beautiful picture of the grace that you and I do not deserve, yet God so lovingly gives it to us over and over and over again. And Paul caps this off with such an encouraging reminder that Christ cannot deny himself. And look, this may be the most important aspect of what we talk about this morning. Because what this means for me and you is that he cannot go back and he will not go back on his word. He will always fulfill his promises. All of the things that Paul has reminded Timothy, none of these things would be trustworthy if Christ was not perfect, if Christ was not holy, if we couldn't stake every bit of our claim in the truth of his word, if Christ could deny himself, then we would have no reason to trust these things to be true. And Paul would have no reason to remind Timothy of these truths. But he cannot deny himself, and he will never go back on his word, and he will never go back on his promises. The encouraging reminder that Paul gives Timothy was not only true for Timothy. This would have been an encouraging reminder to the church in Ephesus that Timothy pastored. This has been an encouraging message to all believers for the last 2,000 years. And this is, my prayer at least, is that this has been encouraging to you this morning as well. As we wrap this up, I want to reiterate the same reminders that Paul gave Timothy, what we just read. And look, this is what I want you to do. I talked about this earlier. If you have a pen, I want you to write these things down. If you don't, type it in your phone. Participate if you'd like to. You don't have to. But I'm going to challenge you guys to do something this week. I want to give you something tangible that you can take home with you as a point of application of what we have this morning. I want you to write these things down. The first thing, if we have died with him, we will live with him. What I want you to write down and what I want you to remember is this passage. Romans chapter 6, 6 through 8. As you write that down, we've already read this. This morning, I want you to be reminded that if you have come to know Christ, then the old has passed away. The old has passed away. You are no longer enslaved to sin. You have been set free from your sin. And because you have died to yourself, you now currently walk and live with Christ. And that means that you will live in eternity with him. This week, will you please remember that? Will you remind yourself of that? The second thing that I want you to write down, if we endure, we will reign with him. And if you know Jesus, you sit in here this morning and you have been saved by God, it's no if. You will endure because God will give you the strength to be able to do so. What I want you to remember this morning is the passage Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. When you think about having to endure through the trials of life, I want you to go back and I want you to read this passage of Scripture and be reminded that you and I are able to run with endurance because we are able to look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, because he has already ran the race. He has completed the race. It was his joy that he would endure the cross, despising the shame, to be seated at the right hand of the throne of God so that you and I could endure, so that you and I could have a relationship with him. The third thing that I want you to write down: if we are faithless, he will remain faithful. We didn't read this morning, and we won't for the sake of time, but I want you to write it down. And this week, I want you to go and read it, and I want you to pray through it. Luke 22, 54 through 62, and John 21, 15 through 19. Luke 22, 54 through 62. This is the story of Peter denying Jesus. Jesus told Peter that he would deny Jesus. Jesus told Peter that he would deny him three times. Peter's like, no way, no chance. Go and read Luke 22, 54 through 62. Read the story of Peter denying Jesus. And then go read John 21, 15 through 19. And see the grace and the forgiveness given by Jesus. And know and be reminded when you read this passage that God is faithful. When you are faithless, God will always remain faithful. I want you to write those things down, and as you've written those things down, I want to encourage you this week, at some point, whether that's today, whether that's tomorrow, any time throughout the rest of this week, would you go back and read this passage, read those verses, and pray through those verses, and ask God to help you to trust that the old has passed away and that I am no longer enslaved by sin. Would you ask him to help you by reminding you to know that, hey, I can endure if I will look to you, the founder and perfecter of faith, and to know that God is faithful even when we aren't, even when we are faithless. This week, when you face resistance, as we wrap this up, maybe at work, as you seek to share the gospel, and I hope that you will, as you face resistance for that, when that's difficult for you, when you find that people just don't want to have a conversation with you, when it causes strife with a family member that you love so much, but you want them so bad to know the gospel, pause and remember that nothing can silence the gospel. And Satan will do all that he can to try to get you to be quiet. But nothing can silence the gospel, and the gospel will always prevail. And I want you to remember this. I want to give this last thought to you. Remember that 2,000 years after Paul wrote this, the gospel's still alive, and it still has the same power to save as it did then. The gospel has been presented to you this morning. If you don't know Jesus, would you accept Jesus as your Savior? Remember what John 18 tells us. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. What do you have to do to be saved? Believe in the name of Jesus, man. God desires that you would come to know him. He desires that you would come to know him. My desire is that you would come to know Christ, that you would experience the liberating freedom of living a life devoted to Christ. And finally, this week, will you be reminded of the power of the gospel, and would you be faithful to live it, and would you be faithful to share it?